Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 299 of the podcast. I realize that is a bit of a significant number, and I am very excited to hit the 300 mark because of work and travel and family and just all kinds of stuff that's been going on. I probably will not be releasing the 300th episode next week, but I'm very much excited for you to listen to this boy of summer, Cedric Yarbrough. I know it's coming out after Labor Day. Maybe that's a little faux pas. I don't care. As you know, I missed a couple of Boys of Summer episodes in the summer, so I wanted to make sure to get this one out into the world. I adore Cedric. I think that's it, other than that, not to give too much of a spoiler on one of my upcoming episodes of the podcast when I return to podcasting Wonderful Ladies, but if you are in the Los Angeles area and you are listening to this episode on the day that it drops, that being Thursday, September 6th, I encourage you to see the marvelously talented and marvelously wonderful Alicia Witt perform at the Hotel Cafe. Okay, I hope everyone's doing great, and I will talk to you soon.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Care about at this point, and I have started recording, is that your knees have as much room as they need all of your best knee moves. Everyone knows you for your knee moves.
Everyone knows me for my knee-ness.
Uh-huh.
Is that how you usually start an interview?
Jump in.
Yeah, you don't even.
There's nothing.
No.
It's not.
Just I'm in. All right, I'm in. Here we go. Hi, Janet.
I have never felt worse.
Well,
Okay, listen. I'm going to take it back.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm going to tell you how attractive you look.
Oh.
I want to tell you how charming and funny you are.
Oh, Janet.
I want you to rest assured that this experience doing my podcast will be easy, cash. I'm going to play a fun game with you at the end that you really don't need to know anything about until we get there. For the most part. And I just want you to feel comfortable. Listen, if you need to take a bathroom break, we're not live.
I'm ready.
All the time. Do you feel ready?
That was perfect.
Okay.
That's exactly what I needed.
All right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to a very special episode of the JV Club.
Excuse me. Wait, hold on.
With my slurping, sparkling water. Fantastically talented boy of summer, Cedric Yarbrough.
Hey. For this interview, though, I have changed my name.
Oh shit! Okay, yeah. Okay. Would you like to self-introduce?
Cedric Yarbrough.
Oh, it's Cedric?
No, it's not.
Oh my god, you scared the shit out of me. I was like, I've known you for like 12 years, and I am positive I'm saying your name
the
right.
Worst,
but everyone
name
says Cedric.
Yeah. No, you got it right. But my mother, you don't have a black mom, do you?
Not that I know of,
yeah.
But anything's possible in this day and age.
It could happen.
Anything's possible.
Well, if you would know, because your name would be Janae.
It's or so close.
Yeah, it'd be close to Janet. Yeah, but then
she wanted to be Cedric.
Black moms like to, you know.
They give a little twist. They give it an original twist.
Flavor.
But it might still look like the name that other people are familiar with.
Yeah, and then you have to, the rest of your life, explain that I'm not trying to put on anything.
Right,
it's just
right.
My mom did that, and she would be rather upset if I switched it. You know,
yes.
It would be make my life easier.
That's true, though. There is that thing where, like, if someone fully mispronounces the way your name, as you understand it, is spelled or is pronounced, that somehow that's on you. Like, somehow you're getting errors.
Really?
Yeah.
Varney?
Yeah.
Not Varney.
Side note, tons of people look at my name, Janet, and say Jeanette.
Oh.
They're sure that it's Jeanette. So I don't know. Like, I can't get, I mean, I got it. You say it the way you say it.
Yes.
And it still doesn't work out for me. So
do you correct them?
I do.
Okay.
But yeah. I think, but I will say this, whereas yours would be like, are you sure it's Cedric? Like, they'll question you. I would say for mine, there's a like a there's a rolling it back where they realize like, oh yeah, it is Janet. Oh,
okay.
Like they own it.
Yes.
They're like, oh yeah, yeah. And I and what I like to do is I like to sugarcoat a little by saying like, oh, you just made it so much like cooler sounding. Oh, it's really just ordinary Janet. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, you make them feel good.
Yeah. Let me tell you, the hardest ones I've come across in Hollywood are the Gillians and the Jillians.
That is, yes. And there are 10,000 of them out
yes.
here.
In comedy.
All acting.
They're all over the place.
All funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That one I think I get. I almost always flip it and say the wrong one.
The wrong one.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
I get the, you sure it's Cedric? Really?
That is so great and awful.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You know
that. Or I go, hi, I'm Cedric. Cedric.
They really? Like
yes.
Someone corrects
so
you.
So bold. So bold. And
That
every day.
I will say that angers me. I'm really ruffled by this.
Well, it angers a lot of friends of mine.
I'm very, very ruffled.
Who will hear that and then they come in and jump and correct. But
yeah.
I've learned, if I care about the relationship,
right.
if I think it's going to be further than this conversation, yeah. then I will correct them. But if not, I let it go.
Just let it sit out there.
Sometimes you just have to pick your battles.
I almost peed my pants a little bit when you said that you changed your name and it was Cedric. And then I thought that was your hilarious way of telling me I was saying it wrong. I thought, this is undoing everything I understand about the world because I've really been thinking that his name is Cedric for a very long time.
No, you were right. You were right.
Phew! And you had that all through getting your name called on the roll sheet, like every year, every place.
Every year for all I've, you know, for every time, every church group, every grade, every show that I've done, every time, unless someone knows me from beforehand. And even that still is, you know.
There might be a slip.
I'm doing speechless right now, and you know, some crew members, you know, I'll hear them talk about me in the wrong name. And I just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let these guys do their work.
And yeah.
light me the way they want to light me.
Yeah. What, do you have siblings?
I do.
Are any of your siblings' names a tweak on a normal pronunciation of something?
No, but there is one name that's yes, odd, I will say.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest of four. He is the second brother. His name is Anitan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's an African name.
Beautiful.
I don't know what it means.
Anitan. Tan with an ends with an N.
With an N.
Okay.
And then there's Anitan. Amber, and then there's Trevor.
Trevor.
I think she learned after a while. She's like, okay.
Are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'm not going to stop.
I got to back off this creativity.
I got to leave these guys alone with these names.
Yeah.
Amber and Trevor. Let them ease into it. Yeah.
Where are you from?
From Minneapolis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say what I say about anybody I meet from Minnesota, which is, number one, never been there.
Oh.
Number two, I feel like so many funny people come from Minnesota.
We have like a mafia, for sure.
It's a real comedy
because
mafia.
I mean, there's nothing else other than be creative there.
But I mean, I feel like you could make that excuse for so many other places, but they're not turning out the kind of dry wit that I see from Minneapolis and some and / parts of Wisconsin.
Yeah, but it's the bitter cold for some reason just turns on. You gotta be able to laugh because you're gonna die.
Uh-huh.
And cry.
It's literally,
you know,
life or death.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, waiting for the school bus when it's minus 6 degrees out, you got to find something funny about this because this is awful.
Uh-huh.
This is Arctic. I'm a child. I should die out here.
Right.
This is Little House on the Prairie shit.
Right.
And you really sending me to school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you have a lot of snow days? Is that like a thing?
There were a lot of snow days.
Yeah.
Lots of snow days. I remember that we had, I had like my, like a Phi Ed class was like my, was my first class. Like you get there and then you have to cross country ski.
Oh God.
Right as soon as you get to school.
No, thank you. God, I would.
The worst thing.
I would find a way. I mean, I try to get out of first period as much as possible anyway, because I hate getting up early.
Yeah.
If it were something like that, I just feel like I'd be a lost cause.
Well,
that is rough.
Yeah.
So that's, and then that's also like, you get up in the morning. Do you get up in the morning and not take a shower because you know you have first period that you're just going to have to like run around, get sweaty, and then shower again?
That's funny because I didn't know about showering the day of until like high school. Like we grew up taking baths before. Like, you don't want to go to bed dirty.
Okay, so gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah, so you're bathing you're bathing at night.
Yeah.
You know, okay, everybody go run the bath. All right, go on up there, go to bed. Well, get in the bath first before you go to bed. One of my worst whippings ever was one of those, was a fake bath I tried to take.
Now, how did you, way did you fake
it? So my brother and I, this is when we were really young, but I was old enough to know. I'm 6, I think, and my brother is 3 and a half, I think, and so we're still dirty children, but thinking we can pull something off on mom. But she's told me to run the bath for you and your brother, and you're gonna get in that bathtub and, you know, and take a bath. So run the bath, run the water, and then I'm playing just splashing around, not getting in it. Like it's not that difficult just to take.
Anyway. Do you think part of it was just like the espionage
I think I can really do this. Mom. I'm not doing what you want me to do. I'm gonna do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Fake you out and then just go to bed or whatever.
Yeah.
I see her peek around the corner and me not in that tub.
Oh no.
Holy okay, so I'm racing now to take my clothes off. She's got the belt, so I'm half naked, water, butt, and splashing and spanking. Yeah. It was.
Was she a single mom?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's got it. And that, I mean, I can't imagine those single moms. My parents both split up. My mom never remarried. She was a single mom. My dad had custody of me because my mom gave up on me when I was little, when I was about your age.
Okay.
I was doing like so much worse than
about
that.
My
because
age now than I am? Or about which age? Which
the
age?
The same
she
age
just
as when you got your 6-year old butt whipped.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I have like so much anger and confusion about my parents splitting up, apparently.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That, although I certainly didn't know that was going on in the toilet, but I was just mad all the time.
You were.
And my mom, because my dad stayed at our house, and then I had to go with my mom to this, like, you know, sort of sad apartment. And you do as a child what makes the most sense to you, which is blame the person that's taken you away from whatever it is that you, you know, knew and loved.
Yeah.
So in my mind, it had to be her fault, I'm sure. But that's also really young to like have the understanding, to hold those concepts in your head of the nuance of like why something's happening. And so I was just awful to her.
Are you from
Tucson, Arizona?
Oh, from Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was just awful to her. And she really did. She like, I was great with my dad.
Yeah.
And I was awful to her. Wow. Bless her heart. Mm-hmm. And it's like there were two different children. My mom would like describe, I'm sure I've talked about this on the podcast maybe once or twice, but I would have such terrible tantrums when I was 5 or 6 that my mom finally recorded me having a tantrum and like handed the cassette smugly over to my dad and was like, that's your daughter.
That's what I have.
Because he was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
How embarrassing. Here, what if he still had that cassette?
Were you able to hear that?
I never heard it.
Oh, but
thank God.
She told you? Or?
But I think that's a good question. She must have been like, and I have the, Your Honor, Exhibit A.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so eventually it was just like such a mess that my mom was like, do you want her? And my dad said, I'll take. She still had custody of me on certain days, but he kind of became the primary caregiver. But my point being like, the idea of being a mom with more than one child, doing it on her own.
Yeah.
And my friends who have had those experiences and even on the podcast, they're like, dude, my mom had to put the fear of God in me because we would never have behaved otherwise. Like we could not fuck around.
Oh yeah. Like the whatever thing on the, like in the 70s and 80s, those kitchen. In the kitchen, you had big spoons
and big forks
to show this is the kitchen.
Yeah. People were more confused back then. My mama grabbed that
off the wall and hit us with those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She didn't care. And we, you know, we needed it, man, because we were all over the place.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about that tape that you and you that tantrum. It's like two thoughts.
Oh my God.
Hearing it now would just be awful because I would the tantrum and also
never, I already mean,
hearing
like,
your own voice though. Yeah.
Oh. It would be so surreal. Yeah, I do. I feel so bad for what I put her through. And like, of course I was really little. So it's not like, but what happens to me, and I don't know if you experience this, is that I sort of project back as if I am the person I am now, knowing what I know now. Like I'm hard on my child self in that way. Where I'm like, I can't believe I was capable of that.
Yeah.
Like, quote unquote, you were capable of that, but you weren't the you are now.
Yes, but still.
Oh,
yeah, no, I hark back on. Such a dirty, terrible child you were. You don't want to take a bath, you idiot.
Life could have been so much worse for you than needing to take a bath
yeah.
with your brother. Yeah.
Yes.
What was your school like life like? Did you go to public schools?
I went to a public school, and when I was about 6 or 7, we moved from Minneapolis. It was getting kind of crazy in Minneapolis. I remember a shooting had happened in our school.
Oh boy!
And my mom.
This is like way before your ubiquitous
big shootings were happening. So we decided to move to the suburbs of Minneapolis to a place called Prior Lake, Minnesota.
Nothing could sound, by the way, more prim than what you just said.
Prior Lake. Yeah. It was, and very white.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we went there, it was just our family, the only black family in the whole school district.
Jesus.
And, you know, through, you know, one, you know, K through 12th grade. And so that was a challenge. That was definitely a challenge.
Did your mom have a conversation? Like, is there a conversation that happens? It's like,
no.
Hey guys,
no,
this is what is going to be happening.
No, you hear in maybe the day of, or maybe a couple of days because you're packing. And where are we going? Oh, yeah, we're moving. You're going to love this place. Meanwhile, you know, you're a kid, so you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And we moved to Prior Lake, and it was, I mean, fights were happening, racial things, a lot of was happening.
Sorry to interrupt, I was just going to say, for comparison, were you in a primarily black community there,
yes,
or was it just more mixed?
No, it was primarily black.
What a change.
Yeah, it was really, really, really different. And it's not like, I remember not thinking white people were different or anything until the fights started to happen. Because I don't remember really interacting with white people in Minneapolis until we got to Prior Lake, but it wasn't like white people were different or weird or foreign to me. I think watching them on television or something.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, you're exposed to them in a way that they're not
that they
exposed
for me, apparently.
Yeah.
And so, so that didn't freak me out to try to make friends and stuff, but the onslaught that came from, you know, me being black, and also we were Jehovah's Witnesses as well.
Oh, okay. God,
so
that
we were
too
different
sets
on
you
top
apart.
Of different. Yeah.
In a way that like your day-to-day school life is affected if you're observing that stuff
definitely,
in the way that
and especially back in that time is, you know, you stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that, and everyone's like, "What?
Oh my God!
Is up
I
with
cannot
the
believe
black
you
kid,
had that
you know?
Too."
Yeah,
Cedric, that's and your name's Cedric. It's pronounced Cedric.
Oh my
that's
God.
That's a lot.
Oh my God! It was a lot, and also, my mother braided our hair, so because we had a lot of, you know, this is Afro time, and so to keep it clean and nice and out of the way, you braid it up. So it was also, what is she? Why isn't she
Dude.
I'm a dude.
Yeah.
A black dude.
Yeah. How were you? Now you're I'm sure people, but when one is in a room with you, you are a formidable man. You are very strong and tall. You have a very deep voice. What was that? How quickly, like, just to flash forward real quick to high school, like, when did you kind of hit puberty and start growing and kind of become
probably a bigger kid? I was 27.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I think so. I think I think that's when I really, like, things started. Things started happening a little bit. But yeah, I was looking. I was looking up some pictures for you because I know that you want some teenager stuff.
Yeah.
So I was looking up some pictures for you, and even like when I was like in my, I couldn't find many, but I found a couple, and I was like, wow, I was still a child at 22.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I could pass for, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny. Anyway. What?
So you're Jehovah's Witness. Did you go to, did you continue, like, how far away had you moved? Because the, forgive me, by the way, my one of the, these guys all know very well, but I had to go to Mormon church with my mom.
Oh,
was
you were
part
a Mormon.
Of my,
oh.
And so that's all got its own kind of thing too. And the meeting
by the
halls.
Way,
oh yeah,
like doing this podcast, like do you just have to relive your life every time?
Kind of. Yeah. I clearly need it. Like, there's got to be. I clearly need to revisit all of this all the time, or I'm just like so self-absorbed that I. But it's not a great feeling. I'm not like, awkward. Yeah.
No, you
but
never.
They call the place where you meet, they call it a ward.
Okay.
For Mormons. And I know
like
that
your church.
It's like the church that you go to is divided by where you live, and what ward you're in is like kind of set by physical boundaries.
Okay.
Geographically. But like if someone said like, oh, blah, 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 and you said like, oh, my ward, and they'd be like, what are you talking about? A mental institution? And you're like, no, we call it a ward.
Okay.
And I asked that because the church, so to speak, that
it's called a Kingdom Hall.
Kingdom Hall. There
the
you
Kingdom
go.
Hall.
I always liked that. It always reminded me of Mormons in the sense that it was like, there's a lot of to explain.
Yes.
There's a lot of explanation
the
needed.
Kingdom Hall. And then we basically don't celebrate anything like birthdays, holidays, because they believe that you should be praising God. You should be using that energy or that belief system into the belief of the quote-unquote truth.
Right.
So, no birthdays. You don't celebrate your own. You don't go to friends' birthdays. And so that also is an alienation of, you know, of a little kid, especially if, you know, when you're a kid, you want to be like everyone.
Of course.
So it's all, you know, all about alienating and all about me pretty much coming up with bits and funniness and whatever things to entertain myself, you know, for a while.
Yeah. Did you have friends? I guess that was where I was going with it too. I was going to see how far you moved away. Did you continue going to the same Kingdom Hall? Did you at least have the consistency of we're still with this same group of people when we go to church, or did that change as well? Did you regularly go to Kingdom Hall?
Yeah, we regularly went, but there weren't like children my age there. It was a lot.
Of course not. That would be too easy.
Yeah, of course. It would be easy and fun for me. No, it was adults, you know, worshiping and me trying to be mature, I guess, and trying to, you know, take care of my brother, who was like, who didn't buy into this at all.
Oh, yeah?
He got it right away.
And you
kind
of held on to it longer,
I broke off before everyone else did, but he got it. Like, you know, when he was 4 and 5 years old, he was just like...
rolling his eyes.
What is this? No way. What? That doesn't make sense, though. Wait, okay, so where are the dinosaurs? Where are dinosaurs? Mom! Dinosaurs! Shh! Hush. Here's some gum. here,
yeah,
have some gum, and share it with your brother.
Yeah.
It was always the adult spearmint gum, not fun gum.
Yeah.
At church is always it's adult spearmint gum.
Yeah. So. I associate one of my main associations with like the full sacrament meeting, which is all ages. Wait, that's not like a club.
Yeah.
They don't serve drinks, but it is an all ages meeting.
Oh.
Is little Ziploc bags of Cheerios. Like every mom, no matter where you looked, would have a Ziploc bag of Cheerios. And like, I think
but
if you were
that
really
for babies?
Lucky. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh,
up till maybe, like maybe when you're 12, you graduate to like a single Tic Tac. They give you like one peppermint, sad Tic Tac that you hold in your mouth as long as you can as it dissolves into a grain of sand.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And if you got like, some kids were really lucky and had like Honey Nut Cheerios, but usually it was just a bland, dry Cheerio. Yeah.
Oh, if we could afford Cheerios, we would get we would probably get, do you know King Vitamin?
No.
Have you ever heard of King Vitamin?
Is it like Flintstones vitamins?
Oh, no, no, no. It was a cereal.
It was a cereal.
But it was the worst.
Oh, they're ingenious to name it Vitamin.
The worst cereal. Oh. So I should have told you this before. We grew up poor.
Yeah.
Real poor. So this cereal was like the most cutty up gum cereal. Like, it was awful.
Oh,
it was not for children at all.
Yeah.
But it was what we could afford. And
So
King Vitamin was.
If you can compare it to anything, what would you compare it to? Like a grape nut
a minerals and oats. It was not a good time.
Oh no.
Not in the Yarbrough household, not for a while. Yeah. But we didn't know any better other than, I mean,
that was your reality.
We were like real life good times, the TV show Good Times, where it was awful times. Why did they name that show Good Times? It wasn't good at all. I mean, please.
Yeah.
It was awful. But we didn't know any better. Like, when I think back about like when kids would get things out of, like we would get magazines and go, you can order a book or you can order whatever. They were ordering things and buying things, and I was not getting anything ever because I knew we couldn't afford it. So, but I do remember I had a very cool teacher, Mrs. Brinkman. She knew I loved to draw, and so she bought me a book one time.
I love those teachers that make those differences, however big or small.
Yeah. Yeah.
So inspiring. My parents are both teachers, and like,
the
thing. I have so much guilt for not being one because in my mind, I'm like, they were touching lives every day.
Yeah.
Noticing those kids that need a little extra something.
Sure.
Now, let me, I jump all over the place on this podcast, so I apologize.
So
to throw you into your high school experience for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of with the same kids that you ended up with when you moved to the suburbs, is like, because it's K through 12, everybody kind of the
well,
same.
Well, I end up moving in ninth grade from Prior Lake, the racist town, into
the prim racist town
to Burnsville High School.
Already sounds better.
It is.
Yeah.
Where there's still tons of white kids, but there's also some more diversity.
Okay.
So there's some.
Was that
kids
the reason?
Too.
Was part of the reason? Like, we got to get out of here. This is absurd.
I don't even know why. No. I don't even know why we moved. I should ask my mom, why did we get out of there? I have no idea why. But we left and that was it. And we were.
And you start. So that means you started high school like 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th in Burnsville?
Yes. And so.
Thank God.
Yeah. I really.
Because
really
that's what I was thinking. Like, how does dating happen if it does with all these jerks who are like, don't know any better, who should know better, who are like, we're different.
And, because. But even still, like, it was mostly guys, you know, like little terrible little dudes that were so awful. Girls were okay, and you know, you'd have your little crushes here and there. But that was, you know, middle school and my high school was when, you know, I started getting girl crazy, and that was, you know, you it was part of like I was just kind of thinking about, you know, it's kind of like, why even go to school after a while? It's like, man, that girl is fine, and I want to go to school just to see her.
I fully get it. Whenever that, when I started the podcast and I was started talking to people who went to private school that was all female or all male, couldn't wrap my head around it. I was like, I don't know. That would just, it's like night and day different from, it takes out so many aspects of what made school important to me, for better or for worse.
I didn't realize that really until, you know, a couple of years ago. I was like, I wasn't that great of a student. I wasn't horrible, but I wasn't that great. But knowing that whoever's going to be there, or, you know, was this other girl going to be there or whatever, it was also made you like, okay, I got to.
Gotta look sharp.
Make sure I'm good, looking good.
Yeah.
Make sure that this terrible flat top that I have now as my haircut is so bad.
Was that a thing where your mom, again, she kind of ruled the roost, so she was like, this is what your hair looks like now? Or were you at the time, did you get your own free reign to go I think I want is a flat top?
I think I got my own free reign, and I think probably it would have been best had she decided, because that was a bad hairstyle.
How tall was it?
It was a good 4 inches.
Okay.
Yeah, I had some heft on it. It was some good length, and it wasn't like faded. It was just a bowl with flat, and it wasn't as flat as it should have been.
Yeah,
like I would go up to the wall, and that's how I would make it flat. Not a haircut, right. Not an actual haircut. Yeah, just press it into shape.
Oh God, that's
sad.
Amazing.
Yeah, sad.
Did you? How were you? Kind of a I can't believe I was going to say cut up. That's from the 50s. Oh, I'm not old enough. But were you like a class clown? Like, did you make wisecracks and like make people laugh pretty early on?
I did, but I wasn't super funny. I was still rather shy. Mm. I was, I think I'm innately shy anyway. But I learned quickly, like, I'm not going to get anything done if I keep being shy. Shy is terrible.
Yeah.
Girls don't like shy. That's dumb. I got to get this shit going. So... even though I don't want to. Oh my god, she's gonna say, oh my god.
Those teenage arguments we get in with ourselves. Yeah. It's just so painful.
What was the question?
I guess I was asking if you were like, if you kind of were known as being funny, or I if think, you know, you kind of got that reputation.
I think people did get that I was funny, but not how funny I could be.
Mm-hmm.
I think I still learning that part myself, actually. It's funny because we kind of jumped a couple years ahead where I did this show with Bernie Mac, the Bernie Mac show. And he really instilled in me about how funny I can be.
Mm.
He saw some things and he was just like, what are you doing? Just keep going. What are you holding back for?
Yeah.
Like, you could tell I was like, I didn't want to like step on toes. Like, step on toes. Go.
Yeah.
Get it. Go, yeah. go. And that really fueled a lot of, I don't know. I feel like my success came a lot afterwards, after I realized, okay, it's okay to really go for it.
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
Because I did have a couple of times where I'd worked on some things where they were like, okay, you got to turn that down a little bit because, you know, what's his face doesn't want.
Right, right.
We all want to work.
Yeah.
And so that always kind of made me like, okay, now?
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like this business already instills so much fear in people.
Yeah.
If it'll get away with as much fear as it, you'll let it. Basically,
yes.
You could become totally terrified, or
especially if you're not an egomaniac.
But if you're not an egomaniac, if you're more of a people pleaser, have that shyness. It's like all you need is someone to go like, why don't you pipe down? Like, great, cool. I'm gonna button it all the way down. Yeah.
Just hold my breath.
Yeah. My character can be mute.
Yeah, I don't mind.
But I won't make funny faces.
In a box.
Please don't worry.
Or something. Please, I'll box act.
Yeah. When did you get interested in theater?
I got interested in it really early. Like, my mom was weird. She, I think I got interested in it when she, here's the thing, she would wake us up in the middle of the night. If, like, this was when television went off, but sometimes there would be a movie that she would love, especially musicals. She loved musicals. So Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is on, you know, 3 a.m. She'd wake us up, one of us up or both of us up at the time, because there was only 2 of us until, you know, the other kids came in later. Hmm. But and then she'd make a big old thing of mac and cheese.
We'd
eat and watch, you know, this musical.
Wow.
And I loved how watching her enjoy it and I'm enjoying it and us eating and, you know, my brother's laughing, you know. So it was just that, like, that whole thing made me like, oh, this is a really cool. This is great. This is amazing how.
Well, she made it an event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a thing, man. Yeah. Or eat popcorn, Sound of Music is on or whatever, you know. And then we'd all watch and that was our, you know, weird family hour at 4 a.m.
Yeah. So was that what is that? Would you? She would know it was coming on.
Like, yes,
she would read the TV guide or whatever.
Yeah, or it was on, and while she was flipping channels, or she couldn't sleep.
So it wasn't necessarily like you guys go to bed, but I'm gonna, you know, after you sleep a couple. It was like abrupt
get up,
you gotta see this.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of like you. Yeah, you have like your for being Jehovah's Witness and not having some of those celebratory, like, you didn't celebrate Christmas.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So you didn't get to like wake up on Christmas morning before the sun was out and kind of have that experience. But she was sort of throwing baby Christmas mornings at you.
Yep.
Just on and off over
the
years.
Her alternative Christmases that she knew wasn't, you know, supposed to be right, but
sanctioned
yes, but she would do her way of doing it, and that got me interested in it. Never did any acting in you know, middle school or high school until my senior year. There was an event called Showtime where this theater teacher would get a bunch of high school students. They would put on a show. And then they would go to a couple of prisons and put the show to prisoners. And he had been doing it for, I don't know, about 20, 30 years. And that my senior year, he couldn't do it. He got really, really sick. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up doing the show, and that just kind of fueled more of my passion.
Yeah. How was what was the experience like of going to the prisons and performing?
We couldn't because he was sick.
You just couldn't even do it.
So we didn't.
I thought you meant that you did it. You did it without him.
No,
like
we never
because
did.
He needed
we
someone
just,
else to
we
take
just
it
did
on.
It in
I gotcha.
But it made me think, okay, you know what? This might be something that I think I'm good at. I think I'm actually very good at this, but I don't know. We'll try it. And so after high school, I went to a community college where none of my friends were there. No sports were there for me to, you know, try to get involved in that. They just had a theater program. No one's going to be there to make fun of me. No one's going to be able to judge me or whatever. And I can really pursue it.
Oh, so it was on purpose. It was like a good thing that you didn't have.
Thing.
It was a total fresh start.
This was awesome.
It's like, this is going to be who I am.
Yeah.
That's great.
This is something I can really, really do.
Yeah.
I can, you know, I can wear an ascot. I can put on one of those monocles or something.
You were only doing
weird,
like Agatha Christie mysteries on stage.
That's all.
Each costume you name me becomes more and more of a gentleman. You know, I could do anything, anything. I could wear a monocle, anything.
Please.
I could wear an ascot.
Please. You know, a cane, maybe.
Spats.
Please. Please
what about
spat
like,
me.
But what about like you could wear like a Tarzan thing? I could.
I don't know about that. But I can wear a tuxedo over the Tarzan outfit. the pipe, please.
Oh, yeah. that really tickled me.
I really want to be the Monopoly guy. That's what I was trying to be, or Mr. Peanut. Then I went there. I went to Inver Hills Community College, and then I got a scholarship to Mankato State University, nice. MSU, Minnesota State University now, and really was able to pursue theater there.
That's
and
awesome.
Got into all of it.
You mentioned sports. Did you play sports in high school then?
I played sports in high school, not well. I had a kind of a nice jumper a little bit, but we didn't really have any money, so I didn't want to bother her for, uniforms and things right. and all kinds of stuff that, stuff that we would need for sports. Theater, didn't cost anything after I went to the community college, so that was it seemed like that worked.
What did you play? What sports did you play?
Basketball.
Okay.
Played a little football, ran a little bit.
You had a nice jump.
My jumper, it's pretty dope. Janet, I know you're laughing, but
no, I'm not laughing. Look that at was me. Coughing. Look at,
I mean, Janet. If I wonder if I could like combine that ascot and my jumper.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mr. Elite. I'm giving my own nickname.
I'm gonna drink my Gatorade with my pinky. Yeah. Oh. Sticking straight mm-hmm. out like it's a cup of tea.
Yeah. Cedric. Cedric.
Beautiful. So Cedric. Beautiful.
Yeah. I was beautiful.
What were the girls like that you had crushes on? Were they?
They were,
did you have a type? I, by the way, did not. I was all over the place.
I don't think I had a type. No, I didn't. I mean, yeah, I didn't really have a type. I liked all of them. Like every single one of them. I think I'm still sort of that way. It's probably why I'm still single.
Yeah. It's hard to.
I just like all, like. Oh, women are so good. They really are.
That's good to hear.
I like them a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like them, like all of them. And I had, like, especially like my senior year, I had like all of the girls' senior pictures, all of them.
Gotta collect them.
Cedric, you're so cute. Yeah. And I look back at my picture. I was not cute. That flat top. Wasn't cute at all, but
were there other guys that had us that had similar hairstyles though, or were you like
I was not alone in my awful they got it just seemed like theirs was cut better, like theirs was they had a barber,
they may not have been
my mother shaping. my mother was cutting my hair. Oh, and I still have a scar on my ear because she clipped my ear.
I got clipped at Supercuts when I was little.
Oh really?
Hell yeah.
With scissors?
Yeah.
Oh.
They cut it. Yeah. They cut my ear, and then in typical me fashion, I feel I probably apologized. I probably was like, too. No, I'm sure that's on me.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
That should not be sticking out of my head.
What was I thinking having these stupid things, these listen. Stupid flappers? Yeah.
Was it your left?
I think it was my left ear.
Yeah, my left. It was my left ear. Right on the...
that's why we get along.
The top lobe. Yeah.
We share scars.
We're ear sisters.
This got really, really sad once we started talking about being ear sisters.
Did it?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
But we're scissors. What? No.
Scissor sisters.
Is that more sad? Is that happier?
Yes. Question mark. When did you kind of pull away from the church? And was that a conversation that you had to have with your mom? Or was it more subtle? Was it like you subtly started celebrating things at school, but you didn't tell anyone that you were? Or
That's a good question. I don't think I did it so subtly. Or maybe I did. I don't know. It was kind of a mixture of like I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Because I knew there was something that she believed, but I didn't at all. I was like, I don't understand this. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. So, but it was around 16, 17 is when I kind of drifted away. But she was really cool with it. She was still in the faith. And actually, not until about a maybe year and a half is when she got out of it herself, my mom. So she's no longer a Jehovah's Witness. And she got hip because she got on YouTube and found some things on there. And she was like, oh, wow.
But you got to want to be looking, maybe. Like, if you're questioning, that's when you're going to kind of start. Yeah,
well, we'd always give her, like, some questions about some things. And it was always, dinosaurs. Well, I don't know the answer, but we can talk to an elder about that. I'm like, well, why don't you know about that? I mean, right. It's your faith. Shouldn't you know what the answer to that is? And so she, I just kept asking her questions, and all of her kids did. And
yeah.
I think she finally was like, yeah, you know what? What is the answer to
yeah.
some of this?
Well, that what can are be, the and dinosaurs? That can, yeah. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
It's one of the big ones.
Yeah.
It's one of the main big ones.
Yeah, because at first it was, oh, those bones are just fake.
Oh, no.
Those aren't real bones.
Oh, no.
Mom, these are
like,
these
what?
Are bones.
Like, that's not a conspiracy not that a people fake, are really benefiting fake. That much from. No. Like, oh, everyone's in on it.
On fake yeah. bones all around the world? No. Oh, I guess you're right. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, huh?
Yeah.
Where are the dinosaurs?
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, it's hard, too, because so many people, the community of it can be so rewarding in a non-religious way, but then it's tied to religious principles. And that's why, you know, I think it would be so hard if you get something from the people and they're close. And then
yes.
it's also regarded as like you kind of have to be admonished and have your back turned, you know, people turn their back on you because yeah. you're questioning or you're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
That
right.
it's very, that peer pressure is really
definitely
intense.
Do you have a thing with Mormons where you get disfellowshipped or... If
yeah,
you've asked too many questions or you've separated yourself or whatever. Is
I would say that one thing about the Mormons, you can certainly get in trouble. I think that, but I would say, I've never been an adult in that religion, so I'm only speaking from like what other people have told me and kind of what I observed as a young mm-hmm. person mm-hmm. going to church with my mom. But I would say that by and large, the Mormons are very forgiving and they are more interested in pulling you back in mm-hmm, than mm-hmm. kind of like, yeah. I understand the idea of being disfellowshipped is kind of like, here's a taste of what it's like to not be a part of this community. You need to think about what you've done and understand that like you want the respect and attention of your peers
right.
and you're not going to get it if you keep doing X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit like Mormons will hold on more. It's more about like, Cedric, why don't you come? We're going to have a big potluck. Why don't you come back over? We got to talk to you.
There's a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
But we want to talk like, to you
for we want to get yeah. you back on the right track, and it's more inclusive in that
yeah.
way. To the point where, like, somewhere along the line, someone found my public email address through my website, and now I've been getting all these messages from the local church who's figured out that, like, you know, and I'm just on some mailing list. It's like, hey, listen, feel free to come into church.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. It's
wow.
going to be great. Yeah.
Wow.
So my dad converted, I'll just say this quickly for those who already know this on the podcast, but my dad converted to Mormonism for my mom, thinking it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And then it turned out to be this very big deal.
Very big deal,
and
yes.
he got so frustrated with how much hope they held on to that he was going to come back around that he went through the process of having himself excommunicated. Like, he insisted. He was like, I need to be taken off your rolls.
Yeah.
I am not Mormon.
Yeah.
And they it was a whole process where he had like multiple interviews and stuff where finally they were like, okay, you are excommunicated. You're no longer, you will not be hearing from us.
Wow.
Yeah.
He went through
it's a whole thing. Yeah, it was really important to him. Where me, I'm more just like, delete. Like, no, oh,
yeah.
hi, thanks, delete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even write back to say like, please don't do this because
yeah.
I don't want to, I worry that it is kind of like, I worry that if I write back, they're going to be like, this sounds like a cry for help. You know what I mean? Like, no
yeah.
news is good news
oh,
for me.
Yeah, yes.
If I just kind of,
let's put on the, yeah.
yeah.
Let's put on the pedal.
Well, the
a
fact
bit.
That she, yeah, the fact that she bothered to respond shows me there's more hope than
yeah,
I thought.
We
should show up at her
she
house.
She really wants it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I know. I've had some girlfriends like that.
Oh, yeah.
No,
please
we're
stop
done.
Emailing me. Please stop emailing you. Sounds like you want to talk.
Sounds like you want some. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets tough when there's a, I don't think you mean what you say you
say,
mean.
No. Those yeah, are, no, I do.
Those I are mean, really challenging conversations.
I mean it.
I'm looking for my pen because I had one and it's pretty necessary for this
this game that you
Oh, I found it.
Oh, you did?
I found it, yep.
Are you a music fan? Are you big into music?
Yeah.
Who did you grow up? Big, yes. Being into music. See, that's why I find a lot of funny people being into.
Oh, interesting.
I think
you see there's
like
a crossover.
Musical. Yeah, I think it's a like musicality is a very, I don't know, it's either you want to be one or you want that in your life somehow, but comedy and you know, hearing rhythms and different,
yeah, that's a whatever really good point. And there's a could be a liveliness to it, like a spark of both of them can be very like emotion based and
yes.
very like they trigger something
and it's
in your
creative
brain.
You
yeah.
know it's
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's creative. Were you a dancer as well?
I took dance mostly to get out of PE.
Ah.
Because I definitely did not. And the thing is, I was not
a
bad athlete.
PE
yeah.
Or dance.
I was not a bad athlete, but I think I did have experiences just like with being bullied when I was little where, you know, it's like changing in the changing room or like just weird stuff like that where like you did that. That felt like a time when people could be meaner to you for some reason. And so I think I very quickly was like, how do I not do this? And dance, because I went to public magnet schools that the ones that, you know, my parents sent me to were like the creative arts, which basically just meant like, we don't have an auditorium, but we have a cafeteria with a stage. Because dance like came into play, like in junior high was the first opportunity I had to take dance instead of PE. And I was like, sounds good. And I wasn't great at it, but it kind of felt like it was more in keeping with like taking musical theater and taking drama and stuff like
sure.
that.
Yeah.
I wish that I were more of a visual artist, but I'm not.
Not so much.
How about you? Do you draw or anything like that? Sculpture?
I was heavily into drawing.
Nice.
Remember those like those little pamphlets where you would have like there was like a cartoon turtle
yeah.
or
bunny
and
they'd be like draw
whatever.
That. Yeah.
I did that and sent it in. Once.
Yeah.
And the, I don't know, one of the professors of whatever this thing was
yeah.
came out and scored it like very, very high.
Oh my gosh.
And was like, you should come to our university or whatever
and
that
you're
school
like, and it
was.
How much?
Well, yes, that. And I was 14 at the time, so I couldn't go anywhere anyway.
That?
But they did come out. I remember those, draw this pirate.
Yeah.
And,
oh, God. See, and I would look at that and just go, I wouldn't even know where to start with that.
How to do it.
I would end up using the space to, like, draw something else that was not a thing or, like, let me write some lyrics to this song I'm writing.
Or,
but now I do. Now I do wish that I could. Now I do wish I could draw a pirate.
There you are.
Now this, okay, listen, this is a MASH game. This stands for Mansion, Apartment, Shack, or House.
Okay.
This is a game that I would play as a child, as many of us did. I don't expect you to know what it is. The most important part for you is just going to be, I need to come up with these categories, and you're just going to be three answers for each category. At the end of this, you will end up in this fictitious future with one thing from each category. We're going to build out your fictitious MASH universe.
Okay.
And let's start with, since I was just talking about artistic skills I do not possess, let's start with three skills that in this MASH universe we're building, you could wake up with tomorrow and have just be a genius at.
Flight.
Great.
Magic.
Now, when you say magic, do you mean like magic?
Sleight
like
of hand.
Sleight of hand. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sleight of hand magic.
Mm-hmm.
And also another quality that I would just possess. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Janet, I do so many good things so well.
I'm so sorry to have to make you rack your brain for one other thing.
I mean, flight.
That you're not, yeah.
And cooking.
Yeah. I hear that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great. Okay, next category is, listen, I'm going to get right into it because it sounds like it's going to be one that you enjoy. In this MASH universe, you're going to have a romantic companion.
Oh.
Could be a woman from books, movies, could be an actress, could be someone from, you know, she was beautiful and young in the 1950s. Mm. Any, it's really like whatever. Could be a cartoon. No okay. one cares. Could oh. be a turtle.
Ooh.
I don't see it going that direction, but I just want you to feel like you're in a safe space.
Turtles are okay. Let's go, Halle Berry.
Great.
Oh, Halle Berry. She's still.
Yeah, I saw her in the. Gorgeous. I saw her at like HBO or something, and I was like, I might as well be seeing her in like the early 90s.
Yeah, because exactly she's still.
Yeah.
Carla Gugino.
Carla Gugino
is
ooh, so sexy.
So. Sexy.
Yeah. I love her. Thank yeah. you for saying her because she's someone I think gets lost in the shuffle because yeah, you think about realize, the big superstars.
Yeah.
But then you think about all the movies she's been in and how much of a badass and how just, sexy she is.
Yeah. And like maybe it could happen. Maybe.
It could happen.
I mean, because she seems more.
She seems approachable.
Approachable. Yeah. Yes. And sweet. Yeah. And actual. Smart,
yeah,
and like you could actually maybe even speak to her.
Uh-huh.
You know? Halle Berry doesn't like there'd be so much security,
yeah,
I couldn't get,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I paid so many people off, I couldn't. Okay, I'm thinking, okay, let's go Raquel Welch,
okay, there you go,
for a classic,
great,
God gorgeousness, yeah,
wonderful, okay. Next category, let's do three bands, singer, songwriter, whatever, that you can have, you, living or dead, you can manifest with a snap of your fingers to just like play music for you.
Play for me?
Whenever you want.
Elvis Costello.
Great.
Get right there. I don't know why he was number one. I really like him.
I do too. And by the way, he does seem like, again, another person that like he'd stop playing and he'd be like, so Elvis, hey, yeah. E.
Right.
And you'd be like, yeah, I'll talk to you about whatever you want.
What do you want now? Yeah, these glasses that I've worn them since second grade. And,
you can ask me anything. You only want to talk about my glasses.
Okay. Right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, it's so funny, dude. And he always does that voice. He's like, Allison.
That's fucking solid right there. That's what you're going to do. You do your impression of him. He's going to love it.
Oh.
He's yeah, love it.
Let me do that for you, Elvis. That's what you want.
Okay, give me two more.
Two more. Okay, let's go. Wait, what's the question again? What musicians
yeah.
want?
Yeah, manifest them. They'll play for you. Whole band, one person, whatever.
Let's bring Bobby McFerrin in.
Great. I so couldn't love that choice more.
Click and clap and...
I mean,
you know, he'll do all.
You do want to see that up close.
Yeah.
That's like its own form of sleight of hand.
Oh, I've seen him in concert.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Great.
And hilarious, too, because he takes it so seriously. Uh-huh. And it's so funny. But, okay. Because now, and I think he would be able to handle. Like a lot of what I would want, like classical to Don't Worry, Be Happy, mm-hmm. to some Calypso.
I like this. He would very be able to do everything. Answer.
Okay, so in the number three would be Quincy Jones.
Oh, sure. Did you read this recent interview with him? I can't remember where.
That's
it was,
why where he I just want. That's why I want him around.
Unloaded the juiciest
he
stories.
Knows You're everything.
Like, holy.
He knows everything.
Yeah.
And that's the movie I want to see. I want to see the Quincy Jones story because he's worked with
everyone. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. Next category, let's do three, this is my favorite, three foods that in our reality, maybe they're bad for you, maybe they're bad for the environment, maybe you're allergic to them, whatever it is. In our alternate universe, you can have them in perpetuity as much as you want, zero ramifications. Snap of your fingers.
It's everything.
I know.
Pizza.
I love that you're like mad at me.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you?
Pizza.
Janet.
Tacos. Great. Spaghetti. I mean, please.
That's a man who
is silly.
Not indulging.
Silly, Janet. I've never been so ashamed
of the category.
I know, but I want pie in there too, but those three came out. Yeah. So.
Great. Well, listen, you're very good at improv, so you're just letting them flow, and I appreciate that as well.
Sure.
Three movies that you can jump into and just be in. You're not reliving the plot. You're not a character in it. It's just you're in that world.
Okay.
As almost like a vacation place.
Okay, some of my favorite films, I don't want to be in them.
Because they're violent. Never.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah, Goodfellas, I don't want to be there.
You probably don't want to be there.
Yeah, I just want to be able to talk like that. And would people not be able to be like, what the fuck is that guy doing? What the fuck are you doing?
Well, listen, you could put yourself in there because they had some good times. You could just be in there for the good times.
No, I'm gonna go Charlotte's Web.
Great.
Charlotte's Web sounds nice and easy and fun.
Great.
And be an animal.
Sure.
None of them died. A lot of them had the smorgasbord, orgasbord, ordasbord. I would like to be, but I'd like to be in the West Side Story, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But where I don't know all the choreography. Just most of it, just so I can laugh sometimes at myself.
Yeah,
but not the bad actor's dream where I don't know anything about anything.
Right.
Okay, just so I can laugh at some of the.
I love that.
Skeet Scotters. I can laugh at it.
I love it.
And another movie, oh man, there's some good movies, but yeah, now I'm thinking the other way would be awful. I don't want to be in Glory.
Probably
be a
not.
Slave that
there's
then
no way
turns into
a
soldier. No.
That is such a great movie, though.
Oh, that's a great movie, but yeah. That's
punch other. In your heart, though.
Yeah, I don't want to be a slave. I was a slave once in a musical.
Uh-huh.
I was actually slave number two.
Oh, slave number deuce.
Yeah, in Big River.
Okay.
You know Big River?
I don't know Big River.
Oh, look out for me. Oh, muddy water. The mysteries are deep and wide. Do we have to pay for that? Or it's okay,
I think that was less than the whatever the amount is.
Okay, good.
I'm going to risk it.
All right.
I'm going to play the fire a little bit.
Good. But, but I was not that guy.
Uh-huh.
That I didn't get to sing that.
That wasn't Slave
that
Number
was
Two.
That was not. Slave Number Two went, that was pretty much it. That's
got,
all
you
got
to have
do.
It. You got to have that.
Okay, so third movie I want to be in. Aladdin.
You couldn't sound less sure. Yeah. You said it almost like you said a curse word.
I didn't mean that.
But yeah, then take it back.
Oh,
you
I can?
Be in Aladdin.
Okay.
Yeah. You could do a do-over.
Oh, my God.
You could do a do-over.
Because I was, yeah. Well, I did that musical. I did Aladdin at California Adventure.
Oh, okay.
And I was the genie.
Oh, that's the most fun role,
It's the most celebrated.
Yeah.
It's not the most fun.
Okay.
Because I had to show up 2 hours before everyone else.
Oh, sure, for makeup.
Yeah.
Blue.
Get airbrushed blue.
Yeah.
And then, you do shows and it's awful and hot and sweaty. And then everyone leaves and then you're still
in blue.
In blue, taking Q-tips and trying to get blue out of your ears.
That's a sad. I kind of want to see that movie about the blue guy.
A blue guy? That guy? The lonely
the
blue dude?
Genie.
Lonely
yeah.
blue dude.
Yeah.
I was doing Reno 911. Still, when I was still doing the show.
Really?
On
oh,
the
my
weekends,
God.
I was still doing that
God.
Show. And I could have sworn I heard someone go, that's that dude from Reno 911 to Reno 911 to Reno.
I'm sure
I
you
was
do.
Like, okay, that's what
I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm done. I can't be on a cable show and be doing this show. So that's when I quit.
You had to say goodbye.
Third movie. This is a hard... trying to think of movies that
you wouldn't actually want to that you would actually not be killed in or have to be a slave or have
to it's a lot of all those movies that's my shit
you're not the guy who wants to be on Chewbacca's planet? That's no, not a thing. No, no one's asking for that, by the way. You don't need Harry Potter's Wizarding World.
No, yeah. That's still kind of young for me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I don't know, do we do Wedding Crashers, maybe?
Mm, yeah.
Fun time. They eat a lot. They have sex a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty hedonistic kind of...
Let's go. Great. We're in Wedding Crashers.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, next category is three... I'm going super traditional on this. This was definitely a classic category. Okay. Three cars that you could drive if expense and practicality were no problem.
Okay. So that's hard because I'm not a car guy at all.
I don't know why I just put you through this.
But
forms of transportation that aren't cars that get you around that might seem ludicrous or impossible, but the people are, but they're like, yep, there he is in his pneumatic tube.
That's harder.
The sky in
that's a
tube.
Harder category.
You don't want to be tube guy? Why do you want to be tube guy? All right, listen, here we go. Three
cars. Can they be famous cars?
Yeah.
Kit.
Great.
Okay. The A-Team van.
Uh-huh.
And Fred Sanford's truck.
Sanford's truck. Great. Yeah. I love that I've literally never given anyone the traditional car category, and I couldn't have given it to the worst person.
Now, yeah. Yeah. I know nothing.
I also know anything. Nothing.
Yeah.
All my answers were always whatever I had heard someone else say, so I would be like, Lamborghini?
Lamborghini,
no
yeah.
idea what it looks like.
Yeah.
Meaningless.
Oldsmobile.
Well, listen, if you get any of these, at least there'll be a real talking point for people when you pull up in the A-Team van. Sure. Next category, three places in the world you'd love to have a vacation home if getting there were no problem.
Vacation home. I was just in London, and I would love to have a London home. I would also love to... Oh, I bet everyone says this, but I'm going to say it anyway. George Clooney's Italian village.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Villa.
Yeah.
His village? Villa? What does he have?
It is a villa.
Okay.
Yeah.
And number... Okay, so I'm going to go tropical. I'm going to have a place in the Bahamas.
Great.
Right next to Lenny Kravitz.
Great.
Yeah.
Next door. LK. I'll never remember what LK stands for later in this. Okay. And then final category, let's do three people that are from any period of time, famous, not famous, whatever, that you would want to have as almost like a mentor, like the person you could call and be like, hey, I respect you. Like, give me some advice. Or just like, I'm such a huge fan of yours, but you also love me and you just want to talk with me.
Okay, Sydney Poitier.
Right.
I have a question to ask you.
Yes, you do.
But hold on the other line is that's too stupid. I almost went Chef Boyardee. That's how dumb I'm.
Listen,
Janet.
We don't know enough about Chef Boyardee. He might be one of the most.
Let's bring him up. Fine. And I want also Harriet Tubman.
Great. Great. Can you even imagine? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, this is the reality you live in, and you're this person.
Wait,
most heroic person ever.
What am I talking about?
You got to really talk her down.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. All right. Phone. Where do I start?
Harriet,
do I start?
This is a phone.
Oh, this is tough. She's not doing too well.
This three-way is really weirding her out, guys. And Chef Boyardee doesn't get it either. But Sydney, hang on. Sorry, buddy.
Give me a number between 1 and 7.
3.
Okay, great. I'm going to pause this. I will come back with your 100% guaranteed fictitious MASH future.
Oh, okay.
You sound skeptical.
Yeah, I am, very.
I accept your skepticality.
Let's just see what you think, Miss Tube Traveler.
You don't want to be Tube Guy? I'll be right back. Okay, listen, I feel very good about these results. I, first of all, want to congratulate you on your ability to hedonistically jump into the Wedding Crashers feast on other people's food and stir up trouble. And that would be very satisfying.
That would be, you picked the perfect.
Yeah, it's a good one. Well, listen, this is a good movie. You picked it. So
this is great.
That's on you.
My world is awesome.
While I know you desperately did want to be Tube Guy, I want you to rest assured. First of all, you can get around by flying because you got flight.
Yeah.
So you can fly everywhere. If you want to impress somebody and not fly and actually drive something around, I want you to know that you could show off Sanford's truck.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So when you're
the flight though?
Yeah. I know.
Man.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much energy gets expended with all of this flying you're doing, but I want you to know that you can have unlimited piles of spaghetti with zero ramifications. Only good. Probably it's all good. That's vitamin. But it's like all the vitamins, everything you need, right, packed into that
and
spaghetti.
And I have a truck to put it all in.
You could just pile it in the back
fantastic.
Of a truck. Cedric's over again. He's eating spaghetti out of his truck. You can get advice from one of America's true heroes, Ms. Harriet Tubman.
Oh.
As soon as you finish explaining to her all of the technology that you're making her encounter.
Yeah. Well, is she a Ms.?
Was she a Ms. versus a Mrs.?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was Ms. Tubman ever married?
That's a good question.
I'll ask her. I'm going to ask.
Please, thank you. I would appreciate that.
In my
that.
World. Yeah.
And she would be like, so my reality is defined by whether I'm married or not.
Oh,
it's all about
I
men.
Apologize already.
Much. Yeah, she's furious with you.
Yeah.
You also can hang out with Musical.ly. And listen, I'm going to open right out into a friendship. Quincy Jones.
Oh.
Not bad.
Well, I think he wrote the Sanford and Son theme.
I'm sure he did. I'm not sure, but he
me and
wrote,
Q.
He wrote everything and he knows everything. So
I know he did the. I know he did it. Austin Powers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he wrote that.
That
man.
And then all of this when you just want to chill out because you have been so busy doing all these fantastic and wonderful things. Rest assured, you have a beautiful house in the Bahamas next door to Lenny Kravitz that you share with none other than the legendary Raquel Welch. Yeah.
My life.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Janet.
You're welcome. You're most welcome.
I owe you an apology. I did doubted all of this. I thought this was the worst thing that could ever happen, this game. I thought this is stupid.
Yeah.
I love it. This is great.
I really brought you around.
Yeah, he really did.
What an achievement.
Good job.
Thank you. I could just, I was going to say jerk off for the rest of the day, but that's probably not.
That's
I was
fine.
Using it more as an expression than in a
that's
literal
fine.
Way,
you can't, I mean... if I made you feel that good, I'm happy.
Speaking of singing, would you please honor myself and my guests with any little piece of Don Henley's Boys of Summer that may come to your mind? And I apologize for putting you through this.
Yes, I will.
I thank you.
Yes, and... Nobody on the road, nobody on the beach. The summer's in the air, the summer's out of reach. Empty lakes, empty face, the town walks all alone. Spaghetti, I'm gonna get you back. Oh, Raquel, you're not home. I can tell. Okay, how's that?
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Those lyrics, by the way, infinitely better than the original lyrics.
Thank you.
Infinitely better.
I thought I could improve upon it.
The fact that you're going to get Don spaghetti Henley. Back, if memory serves.
Yeah,
You're going to win spaghetti back.
I hope.
Spaghetti's not going to keep their head turned.
But if I wrote that, I would have written sketty. I wouldn't put spaghetti. Right, because that scans better.
I understand, and I agree.
Gonna get Sketty back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Cedric, thank you so much for
this
doing
this wonderful,
podcast.
Right?
This is a pleasure
this
to dream come
good.
True. I'm glad
this
that you,
a good time.
While you were enraged with me, at the MASH game, you eventually begrudgingly came around.
I did.
I appreciate it. What we're we mentioned Speechless. It's a wonderful show.
Yes.
Is it third? You're in their third season?
We are shooting our third season.
Fantastic.
We were in London and we are back now. And we had the wonderful John Cleese come on and do the show.
Just John Cleese, that's all.
Just John Cleese.
Huge.
Me and him are going to do a buddy cop movie, I feel.
It's happening.
It's just going to be just tall comedy.
Uh-huh.
He won't do much. He'll be doing old English man stuff, and I'll be doing the work.
But you'll be the one with a monocle and ascot, I have to assume.
Hey. You've written this movie already.
Yeah, we need anything else? I think we got there.
That's it.
God, we're going to be rich.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Guys, I'll talk to you next time on the podcast. I don't know why I'm whispering. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.